Thank you for joining us today on the At the Table podcast, where I strive to encourage and equip you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. This week on the At the Table podcast, we're going to look at Acts chapter 4, talk a little bit about Forrest Frank, and see where this leads us. Without further ado, let's get started. Well, hello and welcome to the At the Table podcast. Today, this is Pastor Gary Bush, and I'm coming at you today a little bit different mix. I am not really looking back at last week's message. I am responding to a recent post on Instagram by Forrest Frank and kind of realizing that, man, this connects super well to what I'm preaching on this coming week in Acts chapter 4, the back half of the chapter, and how Peter and John, when they gathered with the other disciples, how they responded to the adversity, the things of life, and what we can take from that. And I'm going to examine Forrest Frank's Instagram reel. And so it's just a short clip here, and I hope to catch the full podcast at another time. But I'm just going to try to share what it is. I'm going to link it in the notes below. So if you haven't seen it, look for the link below. It's about 3 minutes long, a little bit less than that, just to fit under that reel length, R-E-E-L, on Instagram. But anyhow, this is Forrest Frank. If you don't know who he is, you probably haven't been paying attention to music recently. Forrest Frank is a Christian artist, an artist that's Christian, I would say, and has really made a splash. Along with Brandon Lake, they have produced Christian music that's actually debuted and stayed on the Billboard Top 100 list for all genres for a number of weeks, and at least once, sometimes a couple of songs. And this is kind of a phenomena in and of itself. But Forrest Frank seems to be a pretty genuine guy from everything I can find. And I'll admit right out of the gate that I haven't really dove into this recent video he's posted recently. It's interesting. I saw a video of him breaking his back a few weeks back, and man, I felt terrible for him. It looked very real, very painful, doing a skateboarding accident at home. But now I'm kind of getting the rest of the story. So let me just give you a quick synopsis of what he said in this video, but I encourage you to go watch it. He tells the story, his account, much better than I could. But essentially, Forrest Frank had just finished a tour and had come back and had taken a social media break and just felt the need to reconnect with God and take a small break from that. In fact, he says he went on a 30-day journaling journey with another friend of his and just documenting kind of what has happened in his life, this sudden rise to fame and his music. And he really felt coming out of that he was supposed to kind of document that journey through video. And in fact, he had bought all the gear, he says, to do this and set up a studio at home and started writing music and recording it that way, and just kind of a unique perspective. Well, in the midst of this, he broke his back. He fell during a skateboarding accident, and he has the quick clip of the different vertebrae he broke, and this sounded terribly painful. In fact, he went on to then start writing kind of a music from bed, because that's where he was kind of confined to, and wrote the song, Lord, You've Got My Back, and I think another one called Lemons into Lemonade or Lemonade or something like that. But anyways, these things just kind of took off, and he felt like, man, that's in the midst of all of that. That is what God was doing, was using him, using his music to do that. Well, it turns out, long story short, that as he was back on social media and kind of documenting these things, thinking he was going one direction, but God took it another direction, something amazing happened, and he was healed. It appears that he no longer has any broken back vertebrae. He's healed from the pain and just continuing to give God the glory, give his life to him, to God fully. And that's kind of what he was challenging people in that video. And it just kind of struck me that as I was watching this, I'm preparing the message for this upcoming week in Acts chapter 4, and where the believers gather together and pray and ask God. They gave him praise for who he was, that he was in control, he was sovereign, he was over all these things, even the adversity, even the bad things that were happening to the early church and Peter and John being thrown in prison and told they can't speak the name of Jesus and giving them boldness. But even in the midst of that, they surrendered that over to God and then asked him to make them bold to share the gospel and let the power of the Holy Spirit reign supernaturally in their life. And the verses tell us that they then, the Holy Spirit filled the arena. And let me just read a couple of the verses. So in Acts chapter 4, starting in verse 24, this is what they prayed. They said, when they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Sovereign Lord, they said, you made the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. And they go on to talk about all the other areas that God is sovereign in. And then they get to the end in verse 29. It says, now, Lord, consider their threats, those by the religious leaders, and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. After they prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God boldly. Wow, right? Now, again, I haven't research this more fully, but I'm just taking what he said at face value and giving praise to God. Well, this week, this Sunday, I'm going to be preaching, and the title of my message is Blazing the Trail, and how these early believers blazed the trail by the power of the Holy Spirit. And the common theme between that and the prayer of Acts chapter 4 and what Forrest Frank was sharing was this: it was surrender. So many times in America, we are lulled into a sense of complacency and comfort just by where we live. It is not even necessarily active seeking that, but it just kind of happens. We get comfortable or we get used to a certain way of life, and sometimes we get less bold. What I've been just struck in studying this passage in Acts chapter 4 and also listening to Forrest Frank's testimony is that I'm reminded deeply that God wants our heart. See, he's after us surrendering. Someone here needs to hear this phrase: seek God with boldness and expect miracles. And as I was thinking about that and thinking about what was my first response to Forrest Frank's video, well, you don't know, but I do. And my response was skepticism. You know, I've been a Christian now for nearly 40 years, give or take. And for some reason, this complacency and comfort of living in this country kind of bleeds into my faith. In fact, I've been in the church for all those years. I've even now been a pastor for 5 years and ministry for longer than that. And I just sometimes, I have lost that saltiness, and I feel skeptical. And I'm not entirely sure why. I'm not entirely sure why this kind of exhibits itself in my heart, but I'm just reminded and I'm drawn back by the honesty of Forrest Frank's video, and also the honesty in Acts chapter 4, and how these two things meet together. And I realize that sometimes the reason why I'm either skeptical or I don't see God working in these miraculous ways is my own skepticism, is my own inward focus, is my own lack of faith, maybe lack of belief that it can still happen. You know, if you scour the New Testament, every time you see a miracle, whether through Jesus or other ways, there is also a moment of faith by somebody else that led to that miracle. Let me give you an example: the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus could have just snapped his fingers and fed all those people. But it wasn't until the boy came forward and goes, I've got this, I've got some fish and loaves. And Jesus says, fine, now divide this up. And that's when it was multiplied. When you think of any other miracle that occurred here, it occurred, listen, reading Acts chapter 4, you see this after the bold act of faith of Peter and John. Now, let me be clear that Peter and John's faith were not required for God to perform the miracle. It's just often that God responds to our surrender with supernatural miraculous power. So back to why am I skeptical? Well, I think it's because of my own lack of faith at times. You know, I was having a discussion with my wife, Heather, not too long ago, and we were just seeing how I was sharing a story of how a friend of mine was taking a bold act of faith out and had asked for funding from the local chapter and these types of things. And she goes, man, why don't we do the same thing? Why sometimes are we held back from taking those bold act of faith? And I think sometimes it's legitimate. Like sometimes it's a legitimate heartfelt thing. We want to, you know, make sure we take over our family. We want to make sure that we are being good stewards of God's money. But sometimes I think that our lack of faith is what is a direct impact on our skeptic nature. Maybe a follow-up to that is the second thing that just popped into my head is maybe there's a hint of jealousy, thinking, man, I've been faithful to God, faithful, air quotes, to God. Why isn't he blessing me with the same miraculous signs? And listen, I don't know why God does what he does, and I don't know what he's doing. As we said this last week and Sunday, singing the final song, I'm fighting the battle you've already won, where, you know, the line of the song says, God, I don't know what you're doing, but I know what you've done. In other words, this idea that faith and hope kind of work together. We have a faith that God has done what he's going to do, and he's going to do what he's going to do, and we can rely on him, and he's trustworthy, and he's faithful and true. And because of that, we have hope. And because of that faith, working in conjunction with that hope, that's when we're able to break through skeptical nature. Second question. Maybe this is for someone out there. Maybe it's for me. Maybe it's for both. But what do I have to start to change? Where have I shortchanged God? In other words, thinking about that idea that my wife shared with me, maybe we're just not bold enough. Maybe we're just not trusting enough. Maybe we don't think big enough. Maybe it's a skeptical nature creeping in, but where have I shortchanged God? Where have I held back inadvertently or advertently from seeking God? See, I love in Acts chapter 4 how when the believers got together, when Peter and John were released, they went to their own people. So that was their community. They reported what had happened. And when they heard this, when the group heard this, they raised their voices and prayed to God. They praised him for who he was. They recognized his sovereign control. And then they said, God, make us bold and give us signs of the Holy Spirit. Maybe that's where you have shortchanged God today. I don't know where it is, but I encourage you to examine everything in the light of these verses and this story by Forrest Frank. And then the final question that I'll ask and leave you with is this, is why don't I pray more boldly? And maybe that's the root of the nature. Maybe that's the root cause that's really creeping to the surface here, is that, you know, in this account by Forrest Frank, in this story of what he says had happened, it started from a point of prayer / journal / surrender to God. He was asking God to reveal to him, and he wrote this, and he journaled this, and he saw what is God asking him to do with his platform, with his life, with his music. That's where it started. Then adversity is introduced. And his faith in the midst of this, he thought it was to document the song, the journey that way, but it turns out it was part of the documentation of his healing. God had given him this idea of giving a voice to his music, the story of his music. God allowed this adversity to come in the midst of this. Forrest Frank was still rejoicing to God. He was still recognizing this may be the blessing that God is using this pain for. And then it turns out it was even more than that. But it all started with prayer and seeking God. So maybe that's the question you should ask yourself today. What is God asking me to pray more boldly for? What is holding you back from doing that and starting to take steps to eliminate that? Well, I hope this message has encouraged and equipped you on your journey to know and follow Jesus Christ. Make sure you click the video to watch more about this Forrest Frank story, and I'd be interested in your comments in the below. And as always, until next time, I will see you later. Thank you. You have been listening to the At the Table podcast with Pastor Gary. I hope this episode has left you encouraged and equipped. Pastor Gary is the lead pastor of Grace Community Church in Alliance, Ohio. To learn more about the church, the ministries at the church, or to give to support Grace Community Church, you can follow the links in the show notes or go directly to gccofalliance.org. Have a blessed day.